As most of you probably know, on Thursday of this week, we will be ordaining a new auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Monsignor Edward Dilliman. And at the end of Mass today, we're going to be blessing the symbols of his episcopal ministry, his bishop's ring, the the episcopal staff that he carries, and his mitre. So I ask you to remember him not only tonight in your prayers, but also in the prayers leading up to Thursday, because this is a big moment in his life and a big moment here in the life of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. One thing that has become rather popular in a lot of churches in the last several years, perhaps more in Protestant churches than in Catholic churches, is putting a sign at the entry of the church or near the entry of the church, and then to advertise on that sign in the week between, you know, today and next Sunday, what the topic of the sermon's going to be like. And those people who are very clever try to say it in a way that makes it enchanting and interesting so that people will show up for the sermon on the next week. If I were doing that for today's scripture readings, the sign that I would have made for the outside of the cathedral is this: what do Jesus and Donald Trump have in common? And I imagine that would lead a number of people to want to come and hear what I would have to say, right? What do Jesus and Donald Trump have in common? In today's gospel, Jesus tells us that he's going to bring confusion and division into the church, into our family life. And I suspect that means that something's going to happen to us and our families similar to what's happened in the Republican Party over the last 3 to 6 months. You know, it has been shaken up, right, in a rather extraordinary way, and perhaps will be changed forever because of the fact that Donald Trump ran for president and is now the nominee of the Republican Party. There's nothing at all in common between Jesus and Donald Trump, except that kind of turmoil that Jesus tells us he's going to affect in our lives. So let's look at today's scripture readings to see what that might be about. Our first reading, as always, is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And what's happening here is Jeremiah is called by God to preach to the Jewish people and the leaders of the Jewish people at a time when the Babylonian kingdom is starting to show its power and spread and conquer all the surrounding nations. And the king of Babylon is about to invade Israel. And God sends the prophet Jeremiah to tell the leaders of the Jews to give up and not to fight, or they're going to be destroyed. And of course, like most of the time, the Jewish people didn't listen to God, and what the prophet said would happen happened. They were destroyed and led off into the Babylonian captivity. But what happens in this reading is when the prophet Jeremiah began to preach, the leaders of the people, the generals especially, and the political leaders got very upset, and they told the king, "We have to get rid of this guy." And so they took him and they put him into a cistern, which was a water well. And we're told in this reading that there was no water in it, just mud, and that Jeremiah sank into the mud. Eventually, some of the leaders of the Jewish people had a change of heart, and they got the king to draw him back out of the mud. But the purpose of this story on this Sunday is to lead us into the reflection of the gospel. And what this story tells us is if we get serious about speaking or living God's word, it doesn't always bring peace into our lives. In fact, it can lead to a great deal of conflict. And that's what happened to Jeremiah. He preached God's word and he got thrown into the cistern. Now, this reading also brings us a bit of good news, because we're told at the end that although he was stuck in the mud, that the king and the leaders sent help and he was brought out, which is a reminder to us that God will not forget us if we're stuck in the mud and muck of the world in which we live, if we end up there because we are faithful to his word. Okay. Now, all that is by way of introduction to today's gospel. All of us like excitement, at least most of us do. And what makes all the difference for us if we are tempted to be serious Catholics is that we find Christian life exciting. And so the opening words of Jesus' discourse in today's gospel are words that pretty much excite us. Jesus says to his disciples, that means to you and to I today, I have come to set the earth on fire. And we all want to be part of something like that, right? We want to be part of the transformation of the world around us. And if Christianity really does that, it gives us a great deal of excitement to be Christians. But then Jesus goes on and says things that in an increasing way lead us to be a bit nervous. The next thing he says, you think I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. What could he mean here? This is the Prince of Peace. Remember, born in Bethlehem. The angel says, glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth. And this is the Jesus who tells us that he's going to leave the 99 sheep behind and go look for the lost sheep. And he tells us that if we want to be his disciples, we have to be willing to turn the other cheek if someone strikes us. You know, it seems that in one sense, Jesus is someone who leads us to avoid division. But in this reading, he tells us that he's come not to bring peace on the earth, but rather division. So that begins to make us nervous. But then things get worse, because Jesus goes on to say this. From now on, a household, you know, a household is a home that holds people, right? So they call it a household. A household of five will be divided. Three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. The next part doesn't worry us too much because it's about mother-in-laws. But those of you who are fathers, I invite you, if your children are here, to look at your child. Look at your daughter. Look at your son. Jesus tells us that he's come to possibly bring you to a division with the people who are most precious and dear to you in your life. What can this possibly mean? What it means is simple, that if we're going to be serious disciples of Jesus Christ, he has to be more important to us than any of the other things in our life, even our children or our parents, our wife or our husband. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is that true about my relationship with the Lord Jesus? It isn't only about our relationships with our family, but the family is the smallest sociological entity in our lives and the most important one. But Jesus is also saying this about other things, like money. You know, if we have to choose between money and Jesus, he insists that we choose him. Or position, power and authority, the things that we dream about and long for with our lives. Jesus is telling us that he wants the kind of allegiance from us that keeps anything else in our lives from being more important than him. And that's what it means to be a disciple. Do you want to be that disciple? I think many of us say we do, but in reality, the other things have greater priority in life. But if we would make Jesus the center of our attention and our love, we also have his assurances that everything else falls into place. Not always and not immediately, but the way to true happiness is to invert the values that are naturally part of our lives and embrace the values and the teachings of Jesus. You know, one of the things that's curious about the lives of the saints, if you read the lives of the saints, and I've done a lot of that, a common theme in many of their lives is that there was conflict in their families. Their parents didn't want them to go a certain direction, and they did it anyway, and there was conflict in their families. An example of that is the patron of the order that I belong to, a Franciscan, St. Francis of Assisi. You know, when he was called by God to become the hero and saint that we embrace today, his father vigorously opposed him and eventually disowned him. And Francis gave even his clothes back to his father. You might remember that story. So sometimes it's actually literally true that commitment to Jesus Christ will separate us from our family members. But that's what he wants of us. He wants us to make him the center of our lives, which is a very difficult thing to do, which brings us to today's second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews, because it gives us a pattern on how we might actually accomplish this dream of discipleship. In this reading, the author tells us, brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. You know, the only way we can be faithful disciples of Jesus is to be part of that cloud of witnesses, which is the example of the saints, the ones that have gone to heaven before us and the ones that are part of the life of the church today. You know, we can never do this on our own. We need the example, the strength of others. And the one that this gospel, this reading points to more than the saints that we revere as members of the communion of saints is Jesus himself, who is described here as both the leader, the one who goes before us, and the perfecter of our faith. Because Jesus loved his Father more than anything else. And he loved us more than anything else. And that led him to embrace the way of the cross, which was difficult and burdensome, but led to our salvation and our redemption. So, we have a challenge in today's scripture readings. And the Lord wants to invite us in our liturgy together this evening to embrace him in that kind of wholehearted commitment. We should stop giving up and giving in to the world around us and begin again to give ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ. We ask the Lord to accomplish that grace in each one of our lives this week.